which means another Bench Warmer Show podcast, yes!
Finally, after a couple of weeks and shit, damn. Welcome to the Bench Warmer Show, cue the bench. Warm for you as always, I'm of course the man himself, James Acevedo. And my co-host, Heaven Hollywood, is not here this week, but don't despair. You know, I always got something cooking. I got in studio, very funny comedian and co-host on Artie Quit a Podcast. It's Artie Lang's podcast. I got the one and only Chris Cotton.
Hey, what up, man? What up?
Hey,
what
How you doing, man?
I'm all right, man. I'm chilling.
You're chilling?
Hanging out in the studio.
Yeah.
Corporate office studio situation.
Whatever this shit is. But it's a studio nonetheless.
Listen, it's a big thing outside that I'm not like a what is that? Like a, I don't know what it is. Some sort of statuesque thing in front.
Yeah.
I know this building's worth a lot of money. They put some shit out there. I don't understand what it is. So I'm like, listen, man, I got to have my shit together when I walk.
Yeah. And you know what I look like? I always say it looks like the front of the Metropolis building in Superman or some shit.
Oh, yeah.
Or the Daily Bugle or Daily Planet, you know. That's what it looks like. Some lightning with some world on it.
I don't know what that is. Lex Luthor. I'm pretty sure this is the building where the Illuminati started. That's the type of symbol.
I want to live when I walk out of this building. Yeah, who knows? But yeah, it's one of those buildings where you're like, really? Wow. Okay.
It's one of those buildings where you drive by the kid, like, what goes on in there?
Yeah, like, I would never, you know, to be honest with you, dude, like, if I didn't know, I would not know there's a Connecticut School of Broadcasting in this building.
Oh, you wouldn't know anything is in here.
Yeah, like, what the hell? Bars are normal? Really? I can get books?
This is one of those buildings where upstairs, on this floor, they got this going on in the basement. They're, like, killing puppies. We don't know what's going on. There's so many rooms, so many locked doors.
Yeah.
You don't know what's happening.
You don't know what's happening. But it is what it is. And, by the way, this is podcast number 107. Anybody keep a score, which is probably, like, five people. I always hear Ari says the most unsuccessful podcast. I think I might have him beat. I think I do.
I think there's only like four truly successful podcasts.
Yeah. Well, Adam Carolla got Carolla. He's like, who's like another one, man?
Well, now Mark Maron, you know, he's gonna have a real good week. He just interviewed the president on his. I mean, we reached out to Obama. He wasn't trying to come through.
I saw that. What I think it was Morris that did that tweeted out. You know that
Mr. Morris.
Yeah, he tweeted out like Artie interviewing like Obama if it were to happen.
Oh,
it looked funny, like a caricature.
Yeah, he's good with those.
Yeah, it was bits, funny. Man. Like Artie and Butthead, no Artie and Beavis or something. I saw on Twitter. Yeah, he's good, man. That's a cool dude. He actually retweeted this about the link. So
hey, man, come here. Listen, take a look. If you're not on here listening, I can't tell you to listen if you're not listening.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you're not listening, if you come on here, listen again.
Yeah, exactly. To all the Chris Cotton fans and
all five of y'all, yeah, come on here and listen.
I have maybe four and a half because I have a midget. or little people, as they say. You gotta be careful.
Man, you gotta be politically correct, man.
Yeah, it makes me vomit. So you go to, you know, I usually what I do is when I record this, I upload it later on in the afternoon.
Cool.
So I would say by the time, you know, around 5-ish, 6-ish, around there, it'll be uploaded and ready. I don't waste time. I'm like one of those people, you know, I make you wait, you know. And then by the time I put it up, it's like, oh, yeah, that's right, you did that podcast. Totally freaking forgot.
You want to tweet me the link? I'm going to retweet.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like I always do. I'm going to drum up some sort of conversation.
Yeah.
We'll see what we can do.
What I'll do is you get the direct link.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see it. You know what I'm saying? And then there's the show page itself where it has all my. You remember the one I DM'd you? It got all the shows. I don't know if you got a chance.
I'm pretty sure I didn't look at it.
You can be honest. It don't bother me. I ain't going to be mad at you.
I'm the worst. I try to answer everything.
No, you're a good dude, man.
I know you're a good dude. Best, but if I miss something, I just missed it.
You missed it. I know you're a busy dude, man.
I know that you on this podcast, I know y'all talk sports. Y'all do that.
Oh, we do everything. We talk sports. And we might go everywhere. Trust me. That's that type. It's almost like Artie's type.
Yeah, that's cool. But I see it. There's always a porn star in the guy in the thing, but then I come in. It's just me and you hanging out, just sweating.
So somebody was paying attention.
I always pay attention to where porn stars are.
Yeah, so you know that. Oh, this chick went on a homeboy show. Okay. Yeah, the only one I had on in here, actually, two. I had one actually, Sierra who's been retired. Mm-hmm. I had her on over 2.5 years ago in studio, but I've had her on the phone a lot of times. And another one, a BBW, Anise Honey Dip. I don't know if you know about
Anise Honey Dip.
Yeah, she's from Buffalo.
She's from Buffalo.
Yeah, she came in. She was sitting where you at.
Oh, I got to smell the seat when
I get well, I don't know. Now, there have been a lot of other people that sat there.
I'm still going to smell the seat. No, you know what's funny, man? If I was not a married dude, me and my wife have discussed this before. If I was not a married dude and she was not, I would be a horrible person, man.
you'd be fucking everything is what you're saying?
Anything. Any and everything.
That is a hard, I mean.
Leslie Jones would get it, her four body. I would.
I can imagine for you, dude, not to get, you know, when you do like your stand, because anybody doesn't know, he's a comedian, by the way. And to be honest with you, I've never seen your set or nothing like that. Mm-hmm. But I know of you because of Artie. Mm-hmm. And I loved you ever since you've been on the podcast. I think you're doing an outstanding job. So how long you been doing? Because you're 28.
I'm 20. I've been doing stand-up since I was 19.
Wow.
Officially.
So 9 years. Wow.
Yeah, 9 years.
That's a hard thing to do, man. I got mad respect for... Because I've had a comedian on here. I forgot homeboy's name. Oh, Adam Parsons, who I've known because of when I... On Dollhouse. He's coming here. He lives out here somewhere. Mm-hmm. And one of the hardest things to do is that you are the event. You know, you are the... You know, there's nobody else. It's you. You're the executive producer. You're director. You're everything. Mm-hmm. So it takes a lot of balls to go on stage. I mean, what I do takes a lot of guts, but you're in front of actual people. You see these people, and then you get like these, you know, motherfuckers that just want to do shit, which happened not too long ago.
Oh, yeah.
At the LOL.
And that all story. The goofiness.
Oh, yeah, man.
You know, some
like why? What the fuck is wrong with people? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
First off, I don't know if he was from, and I always forget if he's from Long Island or Staten Island because asked him the people I was fighting. I don't know if they're from Long Island.
Oh, I think you said Staten Island.
I think I remember Staten Island. I'm pretty sure it was Staten Island. Right. I know it was one of the islands. I know that
it's one of these islands in New York.
I'm from
Philly. I don't understand.
Yeah, it's like 70%. I'm assuming it's Staten Island because he had a Staten Island shitty attitude.
You said that.
He didn't feel like he was from Long Island. I haven't been to Long Island ever. Everybody I met from Long Island didn't act like him. And
most of them act cool.
Yeah.
To be honest with you,
Long Island's a real lax.
Yo, it's weird. Yo, dude, it's weird. Because, you know, we come from the gritty type of area, especially, you know, Philly, you and me in New York. We got attitudes, you know, in the city. You come out here, they're like, hi. And then you're wondering, like, okay, what's up with you, man?
Oh, why are you looking at my face?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, then I get scared. What you want, man? That's how we are. You know what I'm saying? When you grow up in the city, especially. Major city like New York or Philadelphia, or even in Chicago, Detroit, you know, places like that. You know, you look, you double take, like, you know, what does motherfucker want, man?
Yeah,
or man. Even when a woman says it, then you really get maybe another way of like, maybe she wants me. Meanwhile, no, she's just being nice.
What, you want the dick?
Yeah, I know.
Do you like the dick?
Maybe you do want the dick.
Oh, man.
And then when you get the handcuffs on, that's when you know, she didn't want the dick.
I think you said no.
I think no means no. Yeah, that's right. No means no. I remember hearing that from Nancy Reagan or some bitch. No means no.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
That's not good. But, yeah, man. So when you do like a set, like how, you know, how hard it is to, when you got hecklers, I mean, you could hold your own. I'm just saying, like...
It depends. I mean, because the thing that people don't realize about comedy, like, we have personalities. We have emotions.
You know what I mean?
And me, I'm a very emotional...
Yeah, like me.
Emotion-based dude. Like, I can tell my jokes however, but it depends on how I feel that day. If I'm happy, you get the jokes filtered through the happy filter. You know what I mean? Actually. If I'm sad, you get the jokes... filtered through the sad, you still gonna get the same jokes for the most. I mean, and in terms of like whatever I'm talking about, but you get them through whatever filter I'm feeling that day.
Yeah,
and that's what people forget. Like they think you're just gonna go up there like just make me laugh. Yeah, I'm gonna make you laugh. You just gotta accept it the way I'm giving it to you. You're gonna get the laughs. Just take them how they get them presented. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think great comics, they have to have like some sort of past in order to be funny to me. Like, you know, another, you know, to me, a funny comic is not a comic that everything was so rosy and hunky dory, as they say.
Yeah,
I think the real funny ones, they have to have some sort of darkness in there.
I got a bit of a past.
Just a bit, just a little bit.
A little bit of a past, just a little bit of a present.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, just not too long ago. Wasn't your fault. You're trying to mind your own fucking business, but these motherfuckers want to
try and tell jokes, man.
Well, I mean, tell that real quickly what happened. I know you told it already, but give the shorter version.
I'll give the abridged version. LOL Comedy Club.
LOL.
And which let's be honest here, it's not the the upper echelon of clubs. All right?
Yeah.
I work better clubs, but that's one I tend to get a lot of work from them still. And I kind of I can work out, I can do what I want to do. You know what I mean?
Work is work, man.
But I'm there, I'm doing a set, and some dudes come in, it's two couples. They happen to be black.
Just happen to me.
Facts.
Hey,
they happen to be black.
Hey.
And I'm in there, I mean, the show start, whatever. They already kind of rowdy. But
yeah, what's up?
And like before the show started, they just were being dicks. So the show goes on. First comic goes up. They just talking through a set. He said to me, he said, Chris, the only thing is when you tell this story, when I told her on a few podcasts, he was like, I heard you tell it. And the comic was like, tell him how I was doing good in the beginning. He was doing good. He did come out firing. They was liking him.
Yeah.
And I told him I always overlooked that part because no one cares about you in the story.
But who was that comedian that was really good?
Chris Scopo. He's a funny comic.
Okay, cool.
And he was having a good set, to be honest. Mm-hmm. He was having a good set. But the last 2 minutes, they decided to just like start talking over him and cussing him out and calling him all sorts of pussies.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said to him, when the set was over, I basically came up and I was like, look, man, y'all got to shut the fuck up. I said, this is no joke. Just shut up. Stop talking. Y'all embarrassing yourself. Y'all really are ruining the show for everybody else. Crowd claps. Show goes on. Everything's cool. Everybody's laughing. They're laughing. Oh, no, I put the last comic up, which happened to be Gino Bisconti. Also, another co-host of the
podcast. He's hilarious. Oh, yeah, he's hilarious.
So he goes up. And now we see that why they're so angry. Gino goes up. They're already leaving out before, because they just got the check. So now they're leaving before they even hear Gino talk. So the only way out, they wanted to make it very clear to me that I'm a fat pussy and that I look like Biz Markie. They wanted to let everybody in the crowd know, which when they said I look like Biz Markie, I'm going to be honest with you. The crowd did not give them the laughs they deserved for that. That was a pretty good joke.
Yeah, well, hey, Biz Markie, thank you for the compliment.
They should have tagged it. I feel like one of them that said it, the other one should have tagged it with a "oh baby" or something. You should have tagged it.
You should have said, you know, you say you're just a friend. Yeah.
Exactly. Give them something. Don't just
"oh baby,
there.
You got what I need."
I feel like he left them hanging in that joke. But so after that, they in the hall.
That's why he's not a comic. That's why.
Yeah, they didn't know.
Yeah,
they didn't know. They had a timing.
But
they're in the hallway now, and it's pertinent to the story. It's a short one. It's a tall guy. The tall guy was sitting down, chilling. Now the short guy, he's standing up, and when I come out, he's just muttering angry obscenities under his breath. And now to get to the green room, I got to walk past this dude.
But that's what you were saying on Artist Podcast. The only messed up thing about this place is where you do the gig at.
Yeah.
You actually interact. You have to interact with the
half a second. Yeah, I gotta walk
that
through.
That sucks.
So I'm walking through and I gotta walk right past him. He's muttering, and this is where my growing up in my horrible neighborhood situation kind of helped.
Yeah, I was gonna say actually your training in South Philly.
I realized when I walk past there, I can't just walk past and act like nothing. He's muttering, which means he could at any time just decide to hit me.
Yeah.
I literally hit him with the "you all right?" That's the question that I guess sparked this whole thing. Thinking hindsight, maybe I didn't have to say "you all right," but I felt like I had to. But I was like, "you all right?" He was like, "no, man, y'all gonna try to play me and my man and all this." Oh, and please. I'm like, "well, you called the comic a pussy."
Yeah, word.
You're not allowed to do that.
Word.
There's
no
comedy club in the city that's gonna be like, "don't forget to call each comic a pussy."
Yeah, that's where, you know, that's a zinger right there.
And then he was
works
like,
every time.
And at that point, I'm just trying to like kind of make light of the situation and keep walking. And he at that point was like, "well, I called him a pussy. Now I'm calling you a pussy." And I kind of laugh. I don't feel threatened for real.
It's yeah, yeah.
But I'm just sitting there. I like kind of like, all right. I just start apologizing, trying to walk out of there. Like, "I'm sorry, man. Look, I apologize. Go on with your night. I'm sorry. I don't want no problem." And then a tall dude stands up and he starts approaching me like, "well, yeah, he calling you a pussy. I'm calling you a pussy too.
Wow.
A lot of pussies get thrown at.
Yeah, yeah, wow.
Which I don't.
A lot of words. A lot of words.
I don't care about that. Yeah. You know what's funny? I've been in so many fights and arguments in my life, and I'm like, I can live with you calling me a pussy. Yeah. I can live with you doing. I can live with you saying whatever the fuck you want to.
Yeah, exactly.
Be honest with you. I don't give a shit. My friends say worse. Like, literally, I'm in a group chat now, and the shit is being said about me is fucking mean. It's brutal. It's all comic. They don't give a fuck about me.
Yeah, yeah.
But this dude, so then they walk up, and this dude starts approach me, and as he getting close, I'm like, look, man, I'm sorry, whatever, but just don't walk up on me. You know what I mean? Like,
word. You got that space.
Yeah, you don't that walk space. In my personal space. Yeah, and y'all threatening to do harm to me. I can't allow that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to go home with my wife. That's what, end of the day, that's what it all comes down to me. I just want to go home. You know what I mean?
Word.
So he walks closer, and I told him, I said, I stuck my arm out. I was like, don't take another step. Or else it is what it is, right?
Yeah, I'm basically going to punch him in the face. What are you saying?
Apparently, of course, he took another step. I punched him in his face.
He thought it was a bluff, and he wasn't a bluff.
And his homie just stood there, I guess, shocked that his other homie just got punched in the face in the middle of a comedy
club. Now, after that happened, you would think, right, when that happened, that their boys would just automatically just gang on you.
They should have sworn.
Instead of
on
talking,
them.
They still just talking
they
shit.
Just
right?
Stand, they just stood there.
Yeah.
They just stood. I punched him.
Hey, dude, I punched you.
And his friend just watched me punch him.
Wow.
And I'm sitting there like, well, and he's staring at me with these eyes like what just happened? And I'm I'm staring at him shocked. Like, I'm like, why aren't you trying to punch me now?
Yeah, you're expecting it. Like, yeah, okay, I'm expecting.
I'm like, you know what I mean? I don't want to get jumped, but I'm expecting to get jumped.
The bottom line was, you said the whole time, you didn't want to fight.
Yeah, I don't want
to
fight.
You're trying to avoid the whole fucking time. No, they want to pursue it. But they want to fuck with you.
Listen, man, I'm not
built. It's only after a while you know, hey, now, all right.
I'm
now
not built like that no more. I used to be built like that. I'm not built like that.
I bet you your fuse used to be very, very, very short.
Oh, yeah, I was horrible. I was back in the day, you would have angry, man.
You would have just, right off the stage, you would have just.
When I started comedy, only thing that comedy calmed me down over the years a lot because you get, really? I mean, you hear a lot of stuff.
Because you get used to,
But
the bickering and all that stuff.
I never really only ever got angry being on stage, except for very few times. And this wasn't on, this was still off stage. I didn't get angry.
Mm-hmm.
I just never been really. And when I've gotten angry on stage, I realize I got to suck it up and just kind of take it.
Yeah.
My problem when I was younger, I'm talking about like, I really started calming down around age 16 a lot. Like 15, 16 was the age where I really said, okay, I can't just get angry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I can't do that. Like, I never was a hothead to the point where it's like, I'm black. And I never was one of those. But I did have a really bad temper, and I would tell people, I'm like, look, get away from me. Mm-hmm. I don't want to argue. And if they didn't listen, it would be like this, but instead of defensively fighting, I would very offensively.
Yeah, you would just kept on wailing.
Oh yeah, this was a very defensive situation. Usually, I would be like, "Let's. You want a problem now? You got a problem?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I was not opposed to
now. It's a problem.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, with my mom being sick and all that growing up, I was a fan of fighting. I was the definite fan because it was just so much relief. When you get into a fight with an asshole, and it's like no one likes this person anyway.
Yeah, true.
And you're beating the shit out of somebody who no one likes. It's like, am I really doing anything wrong?
Yeah, I'm actually doing something for society anyway.
I'm doing a service. I'm doing a service.
I'm actually doing a service.
And so moving on to the story. So basically,
so after the
I punched a dude. Yeah. Then after that, my friend Dave Temple, funny comic, who was, you got to come back on the show, Artie Lang show. But I'm sorry, but he's sure, funny.
I would love to go there just to sit there, just chill out,
just to listen.
Yeah, I'll be in the back eating one of the sandwiches.
Eating the sandwich,
but I wouldn't even interfere. I just want to go there.
Yeah, dude, it's a fun atmosphere for the most part around there. But Dave's chilling in the green room, so I punch a dude. I see the other dude don't budge, so I ran into the green room. And then me and Dave, basically, I'm waiting for them to come in behind me. They take a little second. I guess they had to collect themselves. By the time they get in, they start doing the same thing. Dave is chilling. Dave don't know what's going on. All I did was say, Dave. And I just ran in, and I got in fight stance. And Dave's still confused. Like, like 40 seconds later, they finally come in. And then they just poor talking. Dave. They're just talking.
Still the talk. Still talking.
Yo, you just punched my man in the face. And then they get in the same exact positions they were the first time.
Like,
and the tall guy starts walking up on me again. I'm like, yo, we just did this.
Yeah, dude.
Like, what are you doing? We literally just did this. If you take another step, I'm going to hit you.
I'm
going
to do it again.
And he took another step. So I hit him again. And then, so I hit the tall guy. I start fighting tall guy, and Dave starts like throwing around the short guy. As the situation progresses, you know, what I mean?
Wonderful.
They start losing, so they start like throwing chairs and whatnot. And that's when Dave gets hit really with a table. Dave got hit in the face with a table, and he broke his nose. That's the part of the story that I still get angry about because I'm like,
ow. Damn.
If he wouldn't have broken, that's the only thing. If I would have known his nose was broken during, and I told him, I'm so glad I didn't notice that you were bleeding.
Really, you would have really.
Your nose. The fight would have been a lot. The outcome would have been different. Wow. Because I would have turned on and really. Because the whole time this all happened, I'm not angry. That's the thing that's funny. I'm not angry this whole time. I'm literally just defending myself. Like, look, I don't want to fight y'all. I just want to go home.
You were just like, yeah,
this is
dead.
This is just like, it's a fight. You know what I mean? Like,
if you take one more step, I'm going to hit you again, motherfucker. I'm going to hit you.
That's the thing that's fucked up.
Yeah, don't make me do it again. Yo, do it. I just told you. I just told you, man. Like, imagine that. Like, very yeah, dude, I'm trying, man. Like, it's not like, motherfucker, you know?
That's pretty much how I was. I told her, I have a thing I tell people. My dad actually told me, he's like, reserve arguing for like family and friends. If you in the streets and you screaming at
that's
me,
that's totally different.
I'm calm.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to. I'm not exerting any extra energy in the talk. Either I'm walking away.
That's what I try to do. Yeah, it's like when you know,
punching you in the face.
You know what I'm saying?
But most of the time, I go for the walk away. In this older age, I'm just going for the walk away. But now I'm taking boxing classes. So yourself.
Oh yeah, I hear that you're taking boxing.
No, yeah, but but I don't even the boxing. You know what's funny? It just getting me in shape. I'm sore now. I got to do some pushes. But I got to get at least something going today though.
Man, work the legs. Work the legs.
Oh, we was doing legs Monday, man. I ain't gonna lie, I was being kind of lazy with the legs. You know how like when you working out in the middle and you just start taking weird breaks. taking a lot of weird breaks.
Did your one set. Okay, the
trainer that we go to for this boxing stuff, he don't give a flying fuck about you, man. That's a good trainer though. You want one that's like just do it. I'm like, you piece of shit.
Okay, there you go.
It's just me and there's a lot of comics who go to it. So we all kinda hang out and we just talk shit. We talk shit to each other the whole time while we're doing it. So like it makes it's a little bit easier than going by yourself.
Yeah, it actually is motivating. It's true. Because going back to when I was in high school, I was in one of those high schools in Brooklyn where it was kinda like remember that movie with Morgan Freeman?
Oh, Lead on Me? You went to Lead on Me high school?
It was almost that bad, I'm telling you. Metal Detectors, it was late 80s and shit, early 90s. And
it was real bad. You grew up in Brooklyn? Where were you?
Yeah, I'm like in the border between Brooklyn and Queens, but where this high school was, was in Brooklyn. Damn, I lost my train of thought. Shit.
You talking about how bad your high school was, Lead on Me style.
But I was trying to remember why did I bring that up. What you were just saying.
Oh, we were just talking shit about being hot growing up in like a shitty atmosphere.
Yeah.
Like my high school though, I'll be honest with you, my high school wasn't that bad. It was when my neighborhood was a lot worse than I got accepted to a little bit of the better public schools.
Okay.
So, like I said, I was a football player in high school. I played like a lot of sports. And I hung out with a lot of people. And I was just cool with everybody. So, actually, in high school, my years in high school wasn't a lot of riffraff going on. It wasn't a lot of fighting. Mm. My class, to be honest with you, very easy going. I don't want to say I'm taking credit for it, but I'm gonna have to say I had something to do with it. But like, I was one of the people who was pretty cool in high school. And, you know, like, whoever the cooler people are, the attitude of that class kind of extends from their personality. Uh-huh. And me and a few other guys, it was a lot of just jokes being told, a lot of hanging out, a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people going to class. That's the thing. My class, we did not go to class. But other than that, it was a lot of fucking and a lot of chilling going
on.
But,
hey, not long with a lot of fucking and a lot of chilling. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
That was my high school experience. But
see, now I remember why I was bringing my high school. Don't mean to cut you off. And this is why back in the day was so much better. All right. I went, they used to call it power training class. Now, power training was actually a class. You lift weights and stuff. We had a teacher that was basically, I don't know if he was a to tell you the truth, I don't remember his background. I just remember he looked like a young Don Rickles, this fucking guy, but with a little bit muscle. But he was one of those guys. He always tried to like show up in front of everybody. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, you know, I could kick your ass if I want to, like lifting weights, mm-hmm. whatever. But he would get into it. If you were a pussy and you couldn't lift up like a few couple hundred pounds, he would get in your face. You are a pussy. You can't pick up shit. Yo, we would have like contests and shit, but I like that shit. It was like I would laugh my ass off.
Yeah, I'm not a lifter, man. I
like nowadays, lift, but I lifter. Yeah, but nowadays, like, this. Imagine a teacher doing that.
Oh, he'd look be
what
fired.
Happened to that teacher in that basketball, whatever that fuck. That you remember, like some college or some shit. Some coach got fired because he basically was getting on his players, and he threw a basketball at one. Some shit.
That's how you learn.
That's how you learn discipline.
I had one dude. It was when I played in middle school. Because I played basketball in middle school. I didn't play it in high school because I played. It was hard to switch over from football because I stopped getting taller. Because in middle school I could play forward still.
I was going to ask you what
I play forward.
Power or small?
I played the.
Did you get a lot of rebounds?
Power. Yeah, I about to say I played whichever one was the strongest.
We like a forward. Charles Oakley just elbow.
My favorite player was Robin. I was Robin. I get a lot of rebounds.
Yeah, yeah.
I could put up some numbers. I could put up a shot here. I was mostly a lot of hustle points, so I would still end up at the end of the game something around like you talking on 18. You know what I mean?
18
hustle points. Yeah, hustle
yeah.
Points.
18 points and what? Yeah, like, at least near
10 rebounds.
I was gonna say
like
okay, so double double.
Right. Yeah, I would usually get around double doubles.
But not a lot of assists though, huh?
Not a lot of big. That's the thing. That's funny. I would play on offense. I would play forward. On defense, I would play guard.
Oh, really?
Because, yeah, I could, or if I had to, I would come down and play the forward also. Because I was really quick on my feet. Okay. I was always chubby, but which would throw everybody off. And they'd be like, this fat kid is playing point guard on defense. But basically, whoever the strongest player out of the front four, mm-hmm. I would just lock them down. Yeah. I was the Iguodala on that team.
Iguodala, MVP of the finals.
Yeah, yeah.
So back,
I was actually the Draymond Green.
Draymond Green. Oh yeah, he was good too. He had
he had a good. He
hustled. I like players like that.
I was a hustler. Yeah.
So you were more like are you one of those dudes that even though you weren't like that traditional type of basketball player, you were quick on your feet for a big
game? Yeah, I was. Yeah, that's what
very
I was.
Very agile, you know, athletic.
Yeah, that's what got me through football and basketball a lot. But yeah, I couldn't. High school was no way. I tried. I was going to do it, and then it was just hard. I was going from lineman to point guard. I would have to go from lineman to like that's on all transition. I would have because I stopped growing, so I would have to bring the ball down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I had the dribbling ability, but I just couldn't make the transition. And muscle wise, it was too much on my body. You know what I mean? I'm not that. I'm not that good at being in shape as you can tell. You know what I mean?
Oh please, look at me.
So I could
make be that shape, switch. Trust me.
But what were we saying? Let me finish the story. I was in the story.
Oh yeah,
they hit him in the.
We're all over the place. That's how we do here.
That's cool. I don't lose my spot. So that's
most good. Of
the
time so I yeah. So so homeboy. But, so knows, yeah,
he hit him with the chair. So now he's standing behind me at this point. Dave is standing behind me. Crouched over, and I don't know what's going on. In my mind, at first, I'm getting angry because I'm like, this pussy is just standing behind me. That's what I'm thinking. Like, Dave's bitching up. He's standing behind me. I mean, I didn't know. Like I said, at the time,
he broke his nose.
Broke, and he couldn't see shit. You know what I mean?
Damn.
So he's behind me, and the dude starts trying to hit me with a chair. One of them, the short guy. So I snatched the chair out of his hand.
It's always a short guy.
No, I look at the short guy. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Within like a half a second after, the tall guy comes at me with a chair. So now they both got
turned to WWECW like
that shit. So I'm blocking this chair
ECW.
Some dude in a Hawaiian shirt is cheering me on.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a hard ECW reference. Did you used to watch ECW?
I know the white guy.
The white guy in the
audience.
Yeah, yeah,
the guy,
yeah.
The guy with a hat.
He would a Hawaiian shirt with a hat, and he would order a pizza. Yeah. Every but
the good old days. But go ahead.
That's sad that I
love ECW.
Then he would then after that, I mean, they doing that, then his girlfriend came and broke it up. Cops come.
Was she hot?
His girlfriend was all right. She was a little thick. She was all right.
White chick or?
Black chick.
Oh, black chick. Oh, black chick.
Little black chick.
Oh, okay.
But it was two girlfriends. And one of them was a little sassy. I kind of like the sassier one. One of them got in my face, and she looked like she really wanted to hit me.
Like that?
But they both was in my – she had that kind of sass. I got to think of sassy chicks. I like them like a little bit angry, but
– I don't just mean –
yeah, I do.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, I do. I like a little crazy. Bit of sass. Sometimes. A little crazy.
I like a chick that's
crazy, more
handle
sass.
Her. So.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But
she, classy, but yet.
Yeah, because they was real. They were both real nice chicks. Mm. But they just was like, I mean, boyfriend's taking a nice ass whooping. So we got a little up in arms. But,
So was this the tall man's girl that was getting in your face?
The tall man. No, the short dude girl.
Oh, the short man. The short man complex.
No, the short man girl got in my face. But the tall man's girl broke up the fight. She's the one who finally.
She probably figured out. Yeah, he's the asshole.
Yeah. He's taking a whipping. He's losing.
I'm trying to stop to embarrass yourself.
Yeah, and it was one of the things where I'm like, I'm not even going hard, and she could see that this. I'm not trying to fight him.
You're being defensive.
They won't back off, and she's like, he's trying to back. And she could see that a lot of stuff was like not on me at that point.
Now, just thinking about it now, and I give you credit if you admit this to me. In the back of your mind, when you're being defensive, were you thinking more? At that point, like, yo, I should stay defensive because I know the cops are coming. If I get offended, I might get arrested.
It wasn't, you know what's funny? It wasn't about the cops. It was about, and this sounds crazy, but I didn't want the story to be told in a way
differently.
I didn't want the story.
You were the bad guy.
I didn't want the story because I knew that after I'm fighting a comedy club, I knew that this story was going to come out, that comics was going to, and.
Comics
are going to be like, yeah, Chris is a fuck. The dude's bloody on the. You don't want that story attached to your name. You know what I mean? I'd rather have a story where it was more me just going. Defending myself opposed
to
me
get out of it, whipping
somebody
out of it,
ass. You don't want that story attached to your name. As cool as it does sound for half a second, then eventually it's a stigma that comes. I mean, I know how I look. I got the face of a dude who can whip some ass. I have the build. And the thing is,
I ain't gonna lie, I wouldn't fuck with you.
I don't even think I'm that big. But then according to other people, they're like, yeah, you're pretty big.
Yeah, we're about the same height, right?
we're about the same.
You 5'8"?
I'm 5'8", 5'8", 5'9".
Yeah, we're about the same.
And another thing, though, people tell me, like, yeah, but you look huge. I'm like, I don't think I do. I think I'm pretty small. I guess I don't want that attached to my name. That's what was mostly going through my head. I didn't want to really whip this dude ass or whip nobody's ass to the point where.
So the thing is, if this happened when you were like coming up as a comic, like let's say you were 18.
Oh, to be honest with you, a year ago, I would have fucked him up.
And it would have been even worse.
Oh, yeah, I would have beat the shit out of him.
Wow.
I've changed a lot in a year.
In a year,
I've calmed down a lot.
Now, why is that, if you don't mind me asking?
In a year, basically. My mom passed about 2 years ago. Dude. No, that had nothing to do with it. But she died about 2 years ago.
Yeah, because
she had multiple sclerosis or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
And she died about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And from after that, I kind of started rebuilding a lot of my own personality because. And this sounds crazy. Like my mom's been 6 since I've been born.
You were saying,
yeah. So
I know that story.
So with that being said, like there's always been like a chasm of anger that just sits in my brain for years since I was a kid. When my mom died, and I had experience with my friends, I had to figure out what to do. I didn't have that anger anymore, which is even scarier. Then I literally had to fill in that space.
Time in your life.
I didn't worry. Like I didn't wake up that morning and worry, like, how's my mom doing? Let me go talk to my dad.
Do you think a lot of that anger came from because she was sick to the moment you took your first breath? And on top of that, was your father not around as much?
No. My dad was around. My dad was spectacular. My dad was great. My dad like took care of everybody. Uh-huh. And they never got unmarried. From as much as we know, never cheated. Never did. You know what I mean?
And he
really just stood by and. He was
Papa Cotton.
He was great. He was a great dad. Like that, to this day, that's why my marriage is more likely the way it is because I realized like it's just he didn't. Whatever I want to be like, I don't want to like what I wanted to look. Like, I want out of this. I looked. I was like, this dude fucking stuck around with a fucking wife in a wheelchair that was in a nursing home. 80% of the time, and then he stuck around. I can stick this out.
Yeah. and you would look like a douchebag.
I would feel like a douchebag. Stupid. You know? You complain about this little shit. And
you're a good point, man.
Yeah, and so with that, and it was just so much anger, dude. And after, like I said, after she passed, I had to kind of start rebuilding. And with that, I mean, and that's why I'm so cool with Art, because he helped me a lot with just dealing with a lot of the stuff that happened with my mom. And I mean, y'all don't hear on air, of course, but he helped me a lot.
He helped me a lot of just
keeping him. All my friends. My friends kept me working. There was a point where I pretty much wanted to quit comedy.
Really?
But I never had the balls to quit. Like, I don't know how to quit anything.
Well, you say, that's what I'm saying. You say, I never know how to quit.
I don't know how to quit. I can't quit. I don't quit. I got to keep moving forward until I figure it out. I don't know how to quit stuff.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
I'm literally saying to my homies, like, I don't want to. He's like, after, like, my mom got real sick, I was like, I don't want to do it anymore.
That's horrible.
And he was like, what do you want to? I said, dude, I don't know, but I don't have any other skills. So I literally just would sit around and they would just book me on shows. All my friends were like, wow, all right.
That's
like,
cool.
Like, and they were like, okay, Chris, I'm bringing Chris with me. And I was like, dude, I don't want to come do this. And like, they would call me to do it. I'm like, I'll come do it. I need the money, but I really don't want to do it. And they were like, nah, you're coming. Just shut up and come.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would come. Sometimes I would do good. Sometimes I would do okay. I never would really bomb.
Like, how long was the sets you were doing at the time?
Anywhere from
10
like,
minutes?
Like 10, like 15 to 30 minutes.
Okay.
And I would just get through it. You know what I mean? Mm. And they could see. There would be flashes, hard flashes when I'm on stage of pure happiness. Because the reason why they also kept me working, they knew that when I was on stage was the only time my brain wasn't thinking about my mom. It's the only time I would
like,
shut down.
It was
down.
Like your utopia. In a
yeah,
way.
I would love being was, on stage. Yeah. I would hate doing everything to get
it
on
actually
stage.
Kept your mind, you know, it kept not
me,
racing.
It, yeah, it
as
kept
much.
Me. It kept me solid. And yeah. and that mm-hmm. then after that, when my mom passed and everything, and I was still working through stuff, Artie started the podcast. He was like, "You want to come do the podcast?" And I
That's
was like, "Yeah." And I never used to talk. And this God honest truth, I addressed it. My mom was sick a few times on stage, but I never really talked about it. The most I started talking about was being on the podcast.
Really?
I did an episode of on DirecTV show, and I mentioned like MS, and I talked about it very briefly, only for like 10-15 minutes. But then after that, I kind of went quiet on it again. And
yeah.
the more we would talk, and I would just start talking, I was noticing it was a lot of stories I would tell because he would ask me about my past a lot, of course, on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And because stuff would come up like violent stuff. And he would ask me about my past.
Great violent story.
And he would be like, and every question would end up leading somehow to like, well, why were you so angry? And it's hard to keep lying and being like, I just was an angry kid. I wasn't just an angry kid. I was fucking sad 90% of the time.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it, not that I'm a psychiatrist, but I like to read between lines. I think a lot of it had to do because since the moment you were born, your mom was real sick, mm-hmm. and you're wondering, well, why? Why is this happening?
I mean,
maybe
yeah.
you were mad at, I don't know if you believe in God, you're mad at God or whatever.
Nah, you know what's funny? I never, and this is, again, a testament to my dad. My dad is also a preacher, but he did it, and it's funny. I've had conversations towards the end of my mom's, like when she was starting to die. I said to my dad, I said, why? I literally asked him, I said, why?
Yeah.
What is going on?
Like, I know what you mean.
I said, you're good. I said, I am what I am. I said, I have moments, whatever. I've done stuff, whatever. I said, but you, from what we've seen, are fucking great. You know what I mean? Like, you're doing everything right.
I agree.
Why is mom, like, I don't get why she's been sick. And it was one of the things where at first I was questioning, and this is where I just realized, when you're dealing with somebody who just like, it is, like, who really gets the concept of being a Christian. Not one of these people who's sitting there and they just screaming like, you're going to hell, you're gay. And, like,
going to hell.
That's not, and it's funny because we addressed it only one time briefly on the show,
what,
where those types of people, those radicals. And it's like, that's not at all what's going on in the Bible. That has nothing to do with.
Yeah, I know.
That has nothing to do. What it's about is about big up and like. If I'm waking up every day and you see somebody gay, straight, I don't care what you are.
Exactly.
My job as a Christian is to help you become a better person.
Yeah.
In any form, fashion, to help you out as much as I can. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? And when people don't do that, it really boggles my mind. And that's the thing. When my dad, he was like, I don't know why, and maybe it's not meant for me to know.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, but. It is what it is, and I'm just going to trust that everything is in order in some form of fashion. And later on, I finally came to terms with a lot of things. I said to my dad, I was like, I don't know why, but I know one thing. If my mom wasn't sick, you wouldn't be talking to me right now.
Wow.
I know for a fact I would not be a comic. I know for a fact I probably would be either a lawyer or a football player.
Really?
That's because it was just a different thing that happened in my brain where the only thing I had to keep me sane was telling jokes. Mm. To this day, I say to people, it's like, dude, I only can do comedy because it's all I know how to do. It's all I've ever been in my mind to help me get not be crazy. You know what I mean?
Like, so, yeah, that's basically why you love to do it because it actually was one of those rare jobs you did that actually took your mind off.
My mom
bullshit.
Liked to laugh. And my mom laughed. My dad made my mom laugh. And I said, she's happy.
Bingo.
So let me make her laugh. And now I slightly make money every once in a while, making people laugh, you know?
So did your mom ever see you do comedy?
She's never seen me do stand up in a club. I think she's seen me do. I think I showed her a video.
Okay.
That's how. So I think she might have seen. And I think my dad is weird because my dad wouldn't tell me if he like showed her videos. Like, yeah, I would give him a link, but he would do stuff like that because he didn't want. He also, my dad was scared to come see me for years because he was scared I was going to make. He was going to make me nervous, which he does. He makes me nervous.
Well, yeah,
but I always tell him he doesn't. And the first time he seen me, I made it a point to curse in front of him.
Let's get that over with.
I think at the end of my set, I didn't curse the whole set. I had a good set too. Mm-hmm. I didn't curse the whole set. I said, yeah, everybody give him my dad. And all this, everybody, yeah, hey, what's up? I said, my dad's a preacher, and I gotta get this out the way. Fuck it. And I just walked off the stage, and everybody laughed. It was like, because I just had to get that, I had to get that curse out. He had to hear me curse.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, when he's in the audience, as long as he's not sitting in the front row, it's cool.
Yeah, you know, you always
I can't look at his face.
I can understand that. And you always have probably that one person, you know, that, because I always hear for every comic. You see everybody laugh, but that one motherfucker. Mm. And you it's like you hear this in your head when you see that happen.
Ho, ho, very funny. Ha, ha, it is to laugh.
That's what you would hear, probably.
That's exactly
like, you right. Motherfucker.
Dude, if...
And you see, and I always see it, because I always want to know, like, because every comic is different, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? But when you do your set, right, do you actually make eye contact with the audience, or you just seeing, like, heads or stuff, you know, like, do you really?
I look at them.
You look directly at them.
I look at people in their face for two reasons. One, it creates stronger laughs, like, cause they feel the connection when you look at them.
Yeah.
And because sometimes I'll get in conversation with people off stage. I don't care about that, but I don't get nervous about talking on stage. I get nervous about going on stage. Going on stage, I am extremely nervous.
I can imagine.
It could be five people, it could be 5,000. I am the same exact style of nervous every time I got to go on stage.
Yeah.
I pace out. I'm bad, dude.
I can imagine.
That's why I wear black shirts on stage because I know I'll start sweating and I'm like, oh, I'm so nervous. But
I thought it was to be intimidating, so motherfuckers have to laugh.
Who the fuck are y'all? No, but once I get on stage, believe it or not, once I get my first laugh, I calm
then you're okay.
Down. I calm down a lot. I'm cool after that.
Now, most of the time, if you had a win and loss record, you think you won more than you lost with your sets?
Sets? Yeah. I won a lot more than I lost. I've been blessed to be able to be funny and still say my points it's hard, man. Let me tell you something. As a comic, when you start writing these jokes, you start, in my mind, I'll wake up and I'll be like, let's say if I watch the news or I go on Twitter, which is really realistically how I get my news. I go on Twitter, I start reading all these stories, and like, I'm pissed off. I'm going to talk about poverty tonight. And it's like, well, who the fuck goes on stage and make jokes about? So I have to make jokes, and I'll write stuff around the concept of poverty.
It's like,
and people were laughing, and I'm like, shit, dude, I'm not.
Doing a job.
I'm not, I'm happy, man. I'm up there saying something. And I get to just hang out and I get to express myself. Like, being the youngest of two older brothers, I got two older brothers.
Okay.
And in my family at one point, I was the youngest, like, male in my family. Mm-hmm. Like, our cousins and everything.
Yeah.
And to get my point across then, I had to be real, I had to have really good ideas. And I had to be smarter than everybody. And I'm, like, 4 years younger than everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
to a certain extent. So I'm usually trying to get a word in. And with stand up is great because people have to listen to me.
Yeah, you have no choice. You paid, motherfuckers.
You now paid, and now you stuck with this horse shit.
Now just make sure you buy those drinks.
Yeah, I don't care what happened with the drink.
So now getting back to the story, right? Because you were saying the regular owner was like not there that night or some shit, and
the owner wasn't
there. What the fuck, you know what I'm saying?
The manager was around, but they just weren't in the vicinity. They just sent the security home to 10 minutes before it happened.
Don't they wait till everybody
leaves? It was just one of those nights where everything was lined up for me to take a night jumping.
I mean, shit could pop up. You don't know.
Yeah, I mean, now after that situation, the security doesn't go home till the last comic comes off.
Take something like that for that happen? Come on, man.
Of course, you know what I mean?
Now, I remember you saying the cops came. They had to straighten everything down. Make sure.
Oh, the cops was cool, man. The cops came in.
That's good.
To be honest with you, it was a lot of Dominican cops, so that kind of helped too. And mostly it was Dominican and Italian cops for some reason.
Forget about it.
Yeah, that was good. That was good money. So they came in.
Chris Cotton.
Nobody came in with that mentality of some shit went down. Everybody go to jail. Like, nobody walked in like that. They
came, you
in,
all going down there.
They came in. They wanted to know what's going on. They that's actually good. Listened. They did cuff me. And when I tell that part, it
well,
was
yeah,
a,
just to
know it was. A, and you know what's funny? Right. Some people are like, well, why did they cuff you? I'm like, because it's procedure. Procedure. I'm sitting there. I just got into a fight with somebody.
See,
you don't want me running around and just leave out at any point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you stay there.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I get procedure. I've been a part of procedure. I've been a part of harassment. I know the difference between procedure and harassment. That was procedure. Because after that, they was like, I was like, yeah, do I got to sit down? He was like, no. You're good. You can stand up and everything. You can talk. You can chill. We just got to cuff you to make sure you don't leave. You know what I mean? Make sure you don't leave. Make sure we can get to the bottom of everything.
Yeah.
Make sure, worst case scenario, if they, like, say if we did, like, the guy ran in here, we have control of everything. You know what I mean? So we cuffed him. We cuffed you. We cuffing everybody to make sure everybody is cool. That doesn't necessarily mean
you're going to be arrested.
You know what I mean? And at first, the dude, he was like, yeah, you're probably going to go in. As the story unfolded, he was like, you're going home. He's like, you're going home because none of this. Yeah, they hit me with all the funniest thing when cops hit you with that face. It was like, they kind of put you aside like, yeah, you're right.
Don't worry about it.
Like, it's always the youngest cop, too. Like, I'm going to be honest. I'm listening to
you. Trust me, I've seen it before. You're going to be all right, man. Between that, you're going to be all right. Don't worry about it.
But the best part was when that cop came in and they was getting the story up front. He was like, so what happened? And I told him I'm defending him. I told him exactly what happened.
Was there video cameras?
There was a camera for the initial punch. And then run into the green room. After we got in the green room, there's no camera in the green room.
Ugh.
So, but that was cool because once they seen the camera and they seen how that unfolded, they was like, oh, yeah, you definitely
want to. You know, sometimes it's better off not to have a camera in the green room.
You don't want a camera in the green room.
So, shit could happen.
Shitty things have gone on.
Yeah, you know
what I'm saying? A few shitty things.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
We're comics.
So in a way, they is. Exactly. Okay. So, I mean,
but
so.
But yeah, then the cop, he walks in, he's like, you're defending yourself. This is when they first got there. He's like, you were defending yourself. And I hear your story, but you look cool, and his eye is closed. So I don't 100% believe you were defending yourself.
Yeah.
At least it is what it is.
At least you got his eyes closed.
Yeah. I'm from a bad neighborhood.
And his other, what was like, two other people with him? His other punk ass friend?
It was one friend and two girls.
Oh, okay. So it was one other, the short dude and the girlfriend of the chicks. Yeah.
And then
so after you gave him a black eye, you know, the tall one, did he say this to you afterwards? Did he say that? Or he said, no, you're the fucking asshole.
They was cussing and screaming like chicks, man. They was out of the hallway.
What the fuck?
They was screaming and all that. I was like,
were they around your age?
They was like a little, they was probably my age.
Younger?
Like 28-ish. Maybe slightly younger. Maybe 26, 27.
Man,
they was just
punk bitches.
Yeah, they was pussies.
Man, they just talk shit. And that was the amazing thing about the story is that all this time, you're defending yourself. Not one time did they try to, you would think, jump in.
They should have jumped.
But they waited till they had a weapon in their hand. And now they're big and bad because I got a chair or a table.
Dave's the type of dudes who, for years, like the tall dude, you could tell he was going off of intimidation. The short dude.
They go back. Yeah, exactly.
Was like, he was going off his accent. Like, yeah, I'm Staten Island.
Yeah, Staten Island.
And it's like he in the city right now. In Staten Island, they probably quiet. They walk around. Whatever. And it's the thing, since they was talking so much in the beginning of their set, in the beginning of the show, they never got any information about me. Usually I always tell people from South Philly, born and raised, da da da. And from there, I've had dudes who hard as hell, you know what I mean? Jamaican, Brooklyn.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean? It's Bed-Stuy, Flatbush.
That's right, Bed-Stuy.
You know what I mean? Brownsville dudes.
Brownsville.
When I come off, they're like, yeah, man, what's up, yo? I could tell you really from there. Like, they say, you smart, but I could tell you really from, you know what I mean? Like, you good money. And when I walk off, they might have been talking or whatever, and I just tell them, yo, just chill out, be quiet. But once they find out about me, they real easy about it. Like, look, man, it is what it is.
Yeah.
He a good dude. You know what I mean? He from where I'm from. He just trying to do his thing.
Mm.
They never talked and got any information about me. So they assumed everything about me. You know what I mean? They probably assumed I'm, like, from Manhattan or whatever. I'm just some dude. Some punk dude from Nebraska. You know what I mean? I don't know.
In that particular case, you were the host of that.
I was the host. I was hosting the show. So I never, but
so don't they say, oh, this host is from da da da?
They don't say that for the host? They don't say where I'm from, born and raised from.
For like the comedians they
I usually tell them, I go through and talk.
I'm from South Philly. Don't fuck with me.
It's sad, but it's one of those things where when I say I'm from South Philly,
I'll give you a warning.
If you know anything about Philadelphia, most people do.
I've been there. I've been there.
It has its rough parts.
I went there. I went to.
Where was you at?
I actually went to. I went there almost 5 years ago. I went to that Eastern State Penitentiary. That famous Easter State.
Oh, you was up around. That's off 22nd.
And yeah, I forgot. I don't remember the exact location. But yeah, we went there and
to the haunted house.
It's well.
Did you go? Or did you go for the regular tour or for the haunted house
thing? No, no. I wish we would went for that. I know what you're talking about. You can have for the night. We were there during the daytime.
Oh man, you gotta do the haunted. If you haven't been back, go to the haunted house. Shit.
I know.
Me and my homies, we all went. I mean, you talking about like me? I'm the shortest one on the squad. I'm the biggest, but I'm the shortest one. Mm-hmm. My other homie. Basketball, he play like 6'3", right? Big, broad shoulder, he's like a swimmer, right? Mm. My other homie, he just small black dude, whatever, Muslim dude. Mm. He don't have a beard though. He regular Muslim, he's not Sunni Muslim.
And, yeah.
And who else was? And it was my other homie, Saif. Tattoos on his, I'm sorry, he got tattoos on his neck and everything. He a barber, right?
Oh, okay.
So we in there. And we in this, his kids behind, we walking like in a line. It's kids in front of us, kids behind us, like families. All you hear, oh, God, they coming after me. And we just running. Like, we are terrified. Like, we are the four biggest black dudes in the vicinity. There are little, like, seven-year-old white kids just laughing at us. And we are, it was the most fun we had. It's worth going, man. We were terrified, man. We was holding on to each other.
You were holding on to each other?
Oh, yeah.
What the hell?
Listen, man, we've been friends since we was in middle school. We was holding on to each other. Like, and one of my homies, we started running. He's like, don't leave me, don't leave me. So we had to go back and get him. It was fun, man. Man, we let loose, man.
That's basically what happened when you hear her.
It was good. It was fun. But if you ever in Philly, and especially around like I think it starts like September, October-ish.
Yeah, we weren't there actually in November.
November is definitely still going in November too. They do it all the way.
So you did that. You did that night.
That's the one we did. We did the one at night. It was like. It's fun, man.
Because I heard the one at night, if you have like, especially a group of people, they have like maybe one or two of the workers that work in the, they leave you alone and they let you go whatever you can go that you're allowed to go.
Well, yeah, it's like a path though. It's a definite path.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? You know, you hear some shit, you're like, yo, I ain't gonna lie, man. There were certain parts of that Eastern State Penitentiary, man.
It's creepy, man.
Not only that, and you see like orbs. Like, I remember my cousin was taking pictures and shit. Mm. We still got those. But there were certain parts where it was cold.
Man,
and it was a hot day. I'm not kidding you. No, that day in November, for whatever reason, it was abnormally hot. Abnormally hot, and I was like, man, how come we're over this spot? Kind of, but it was cold. It wasn't like cool, you know. It wasn't like just a little chilly. No, it was fucking cold.
Yeah, man. I've taken the tour regular. Also, you know what I'm saying? That's a creepy ass place.
There was one spot looked like Freddy Krueger lived, like in the basement part. I was like, look, if I hear some with some nails, I'm out of there.
First of all, I don't know who's living across the street from the motherfucker.
Yeah, you got regular houses there.
Yeah, it was like a big wall and then a house.
First of all,
in the middle of the city. I'm like, come
on. First of all, right, that stopped being a regular prison like in the 90s or 80s or some shit like that.
I think
I forgot. It says it outside.
Late 80s, early 70s, something like that.
But I'm saying when that shit was operative, you know, when there was a full operation. How the fuck you live around there with that big ass prison? I mean, and you live across the street. Hey, you know.
It probably didn't cost you next to nothing, though. It probably was cheap as hell.
Yeah, I would like to. I hope so.
Yeah, but if you still got that house, that area now is worth so much fucking money.
I can imagine, right?
It is. Like, that there's barely any parking around, but it's worth a lot of money around there. Because you're right next to, like, the highway. You're a few blocks away from the highway.
Yeah.
And Philly is out of control with the they almost, it's not quite New York, but they getting ugly, man. A lot of property costs a lot of money in Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's a lot of these big city crazy shit.
Yeah.
So are you saying they're trying to price out people like here in New York with as far as the blue collar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's what they're doing here too.
It's certain areas still, but most of those houses, like you said, there's people that's been living there since, and that house getting passed down generation. And if they smart, they don't sell their house. Another thing, like South Philly right now, like where my dad, I think he purchased house for like 50 or 60. That house is worth like 200.
Wow, and now it's like way more.
No, I'm saying it's worth like 200 now.
Oh, wow.
It's worth like 200 now. And he bought it for 50 or 60.
Oh, wow. So, all right.
And that was like in the early two. And that's what I'm saying. But all the housing is just. And we weren't in a good neighborhood.
Initially. Well,
I knew it was going to be an okay neighborhood. It was an okay. It wasn't as bad as my it wasn't as bad as the neighborhood. I actually like did a lot of my learned how to fight it.
With your training.
Dude, that neighborhood. The funniest is when I realized later on in life, after talking to my cousins, where we grew up at was in the middle of a gang war with the worst projects in the city. So we did not know. We just kids out there Fridays, TGIF, come on, it's time we go in the house. You know what I mean? Like, we remember, all I remember was fighting the next door neighbor. Me and him were best friends. We fought at least once a week. Because me and him both had, I mean, he had different, like, my mom was sick. His mom was on drugs. We was best friends. But, like, if somebody else tried to fight us, we would be like, yo, that's my man. Y'all not jumping us. And we would have known two best fighting kids in the neighborhood.
Wow, really?
But we fought each other all the, when we fought, it was like, even the parents would just be like, look, they at it again. Look at them. These kids are getting good,
about
though.
Now?
These kids are getting, it was like Tyson versus was Buster Douglas every week. You know, one of us could have been Tyson, one of us could have been Buster Douglas every week. It was Buster. Aggressive.
I know you want to be Mike Tyson. You
wanna
be
I wanted to be Tyson, but I had to be Buster Douglas as much as possible. Man. I had to get that
Damn.
Win. but no, we used to. But him, he was good money. He was, his name was Courtney. Me and him, I bumped into him a few years later.
Oh, okay.
When I was like 18, right? I wasn't in a high school no more.
Mm-hmm.
And I bumped into him, and I was like, "Yo, what's up, man?" And I was sitting in the car. He was like, "Yo, yeah, you got big, man. You are." That's when I was still kind of in shape, so I was like big, muscular more so than big fat, right? And he was like, "Yeah, hey, what's up?" I was like, "Yeah, you ain't smart." He said, "Yeah, I just came home, man. I had a little bit, you know what I mean?" I'm like, "All right." I was like, "Yeah, what's up? How long was you?" He's like, "Yeah, like 10 years." I was like, "Oh, all right." And then all I hear was, "Hey, yo, C Murder." I was like, "Hey, man, look, I got to get out of here." His life went a little bit of a different direction than mine. You know?
C Murder.
I started doing comedy. You started murdering folks.
I know Ray Lewis. Visit your neighborhood.
Dude, yeah, he was one of the night. And the funniest story was when we was talking, me and him got into one fight. This is the last time we fought.
Ooh.
Right.
Good times.
Yeah, it was the last time we fought. We was in like
memories.
Fourth grade. Time we fought. But we was in the middle of the fight, and he kept bum rushing me because I was winning. I was like winning. So he tried to rush me, and I don't know where. I was been watching like a Steven Seagal movie or something. Like
which one that you like the best?
I don't know. The one where he broke people's arms.
That's every fucking movie.
Under Siege. I was a fan of Under Siege. I also like the one with Damon Wayans.
Oh, the one with Bruce Willis in it?
Yeah.
The Last Boy Scout.
No, right? I'm sorry. That was Death Stevens. Yeah, I'm thinking of Steven Seagal.
That was an underrated movie, though. That
Last Boy Scout was really good. Last Boy Scout.
The one with Steven Seagal. Okay, Odyssey. It's Above the Law, Marfa Death. The other. Out of Siege.
Under Siege 1 and 2.
Yeah.
He
was on.
But I like Under Siege. I like Under Siege. But this dude, so he kept trying to like tackle me, and I wasn't going for it. So I don't know where I pulled this move from. I elbowed him in the fucking spine, right?
Damn.
Which was very aggressive. As a kid, I'm like, whoa, where the fuck did that come from?
Hey,
and he like dropped down, and he like hit his knees like on the ground. And I looked at him, I was like, fight is over. He was like, all right, yeah, it was done. And his like knees was bleeding. He said his knees have never been the same since. He got like arthritis in his knees.
Damn,
and everything.
Like,
I fucked his knees up.
Good for you.
And after that, then hearing C Murder, I was like terrified. I was like, this dude's gonna fucking shoot me. He's gonna kill me.
It's revenge after all these years. That shit can happen.
He wasn't angry about it though. He was like, yeah, man. He's like, yeah, we used to, and he was like kind of reminiscing about the fights. He was like, yeah, we used to get it in, man. He's like, yeah, that's what he said. Like, I wouldn't, he's like, I didn't realize how good of a fighter I was to that's from fighting you and you because. I mean, me and him, yeah, we used to fight a lot. When I switched neighborhoods, because we used to live on like 22nd and Warren, then we moved to like 15th and Warren,
okay,
which is a few blocks away.
Yeah, that's only 7 blocks.
Two completely different neighborhoods.
It's amazing, right?
Two complete. Like
that's true, though. That's
was,
like in New York, too.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, 22nd Street was a war zone. 15th Street, they got like residual, like they was more into selling drugs. It would be like moving from Brooklyn to Harlem. You know what I mean? Like Brooklyn's more fighting, and they sold drugs.
Brooklyn ain't no fucking drug.
Yeah, but Harlem is more like, let's make money, and if we get into a fight while making money, it
then
is what it
that's
is.
That's when
yeah.
we do what you
yeah,
gotta do.
But so we moved down the street, and when I remember I first got into a fight down there, they was like this. They was like, "Damn, Chris, you can fight." I was like, "Yeah, but y'all can't fight." In my mind, I'm like, "Y'all can't fight? Like, what do you mean?" But after that, I became in that hood. I was like the fighter. So.
Look at
it
you.
It was sad, man. I used to get in a lot of fights. That's why I said to like comics. Me, I remember one time, a few comics always, I'm beefing with this other comic, or they arguing or whatever. They on Twitter, fuck you and all. They beefing. I said, dude, you ain't never been in beef before. Beef is when all the cars can't get through the street and you're in the middle of a circle and you got two different areas and you're the dude in the middle of the circle fighting some dude you've never met just because y'all teams don't like. Like that's what I said. Until you've been that guy, don't tell me about beef. I've been that guy.
That's real beef. That's when you hear this in your head. You know. Yeah, yeah. It's like, ah, shit. It's on now.
Yeah, time to go, man.
Yeah, but good for you. Round of applause for that story.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, I think I'm 19 stories in, and I think I've only finished one.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You actually called it. I think you called it at the beginning of this podcast, but this is what I do, you know. Most of the time, I talk sports, but if we go a different direction, I do this, too.
Yeah, yeah. We kind of touch sports, too. Me playing
basketball. Well, kind of. Yeah, we're talking about Ray Lewis. Yeah. And a little bit of this. Let me ask you something. Since you're a Philly guy.
Yeah.
And he did play Philly a couple years, won them a championship in 1980. What do you think of how out of nowhere they just bring up this Pete Rose thing, man?
The Pete Rose?
Him betting as a player in 1986 and shit. Don't you think it's like some bullshit? Like, they just want to keep him out?
I've always felt like they kind of overdid it with Pete Rose. It's one of those things where they're treating Pete Rose like a black guy.
Yeah, in a way. Charlie Hustle.
Yeah.
He
was too
cool. He got a march for him.
He was too cool. He didn't give a fuck. He didn't give a fuck.
It
was one of those things where he
lied his ass off. Yeah. Deny.
And I get it, but it's like, I don't feel as though he deserved a lifetime ban. I never did. I felt like they overreached. But I feel like they're going to hopefully lift the ban.
Yeah, with the new commissioner.
But he definitely deserved to be in the Hall of Fame.
This is why I read between the lines, dude. See, it's just a couple weeks away from the All-Star game, and it so happened to be in Cincinnati where he first started. And now you bring this up. They knew all along they had this shit.
Yeah.
So why are you bringing this out?
Because you
want to keep them out.
They want to drug
there's some motherfuckers that's bitter. These fucking pencil pushers, these fucking reporters, you know, they never was a fucking athlete in their fucking life.
He disrespected the game. He didn't even play the game.
No, fuck that. You know what? And I've said this before. Now, okay, was A-Rod an idiot to use steroids? Yes. Was Barry Bonds an idiot? Yes. But they deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. They were talented before they used it. They were stupid enough to use it, but they were still good. To me, they should be in the Hall of Fame regardless.
As a non-baseball watcher, except for the seasons where steroids was in, I'm an avid fan of bringing the roids back.
But look how mediocre it is. Well, first of all, it's embarrassing that I'm a Yankee fan, by the way.
Ugh.
My Yankees are beating you. I know you're not really a baseball fan, but Phillies are losing.
The Phillies stink.
But the Phillies won the last two fucking games against the Yankees. Fucking embarrassing, man.
I know that the Phillies stink.
They won the worst teams in baseball.
Yeah, they definitely won the worst teams.
But most of these records, if I look at the standings, I can get to my dumbass using this mouse. It's really this mouse I should be using. It's like the freaking standings are not too. There's no like a lot of dominant teams. You know what I'm saying? Like
there's no real separation.
It's either you suck or you're right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, and it's almost like that with all like football, and I don't know, man.
I think this upcoming football season is gonna be great. I think next season basketball.
What do you think about you? Well, that's what you're fighting. I still understand why that.
My Niners, man.
I know you said about because you saw your father. Was that the origin? Because
I love Steve Young, and I seen my dad going through turmoil watching the Eagles, and I couldn't take it.
Nah, was that because of Randall Cunningham made your dad upset?
It was a lot. I remember going to Vet Stadium, and it was just such a shitty.
I remember.
I loved it though. I love Philadelphia. I just can't let it use.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say it here. If you remember to bring it up when you do Artie's podcast, he has a story about going to the old Vet.
Oh yeah, I remember. Yeah, I remember the story when a dude caught him. He said he fucked his mother.
Yeah, there's another one though. He talks a story about some dude. It was during like a Cowboy Eagle game, and they actually had an event, which you will know. They had an actual like. Not prison, but a jail.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and they actually had a judge and shit down there. Yeah. And it was something about I would love for him to tell the story. It was during the Troy Aikman days, and he did some shit. I guess Troy being rowdy.
Such a pussy.
Yeah, he was like, yeah. And he asked him, "You have anything else to say?" You know, the guy was acting rowdy. He was like, "Yeah." He said something like, "Yeah, Troy Aikman's a faggot." Some shit.
That makes sense. That's how you go. You know, stuff like that is why I wanted to be.
That's a Philadelphia fan.
You know what's funny? I'm a Niners fan, but I have the heart of an Eagles fan.
That's why it makes no sense, dude. I'm such a Philly dude. To me, when I hear a Niners fan, I think of a bougie type of guy. Like, not go, nah, like a hardcore.
Us, we
like
got you. Some blue collar fans. Me, you know what I'm saying? I think me, Dan Soder, he's from Denver. He loves Denver, everything except for the Niners. He loves the Niners.
That's weird. Especially when the Broncos have been not too bad.
Oh, yeah. He's
John Elway back in the day.
I mean, he respects him, but it's like.
That's
he
weird.
He loves. It's something about it. With that, with Steve Young, he was more of a. He was a.
So that's when you first started. You didn't see Joe Montana. You were too young for Joe Montana.
Yeah, he was a Dan Soder was a Montana guy. I'm a Steve Young guy.
That was your guy growing up.
I love that blue collar. Like he put that blue collar work in, man. Mm-hmm. You don't see that. And don't. I'm not knocking Randall. When I was coming, Randall was the shit. He was a beast. But it's that team. I just couldn't get behind him. I loved him. I loved watching football. I was like, when I watch, I was like, I just can't get behind these Eagles.
Yeah, I know.
So would you say it's because? Only with football, unlike other sports, you could watch two different teams and still enjoy the game.
Yes.
Or do you agree with that?
Yeah, I could watch.
Because it's the way they cover football. It. It's something about it. I don't know what it is.
Basketball the same.
Basketball too. That's true.
To a certain extent.
Yeah, but more football.
Yeah.
It's like that.
I think baseball.
Even if your team is not in it, you could watch two football teams, and if it's a good game, you're going to watch that shit.
Yeah. I think baseball is one of the sports where it's like your team.
It's your regional. Team. To me, baseball is regional.
Yeah.
Football's national.
Hockey, if you really love it, I think you can watch anybody.
Hockey's really hardcore.
Yeah, I'm learning how to. I've been watching hockey recently. I understand it a lot more.
There's certain rules I don't understand, to be honest.
Yeah. It's like I'm still learning it a little bit.
Like
though.
The blue line and all that shit.
I got it, the icing. I get it.
No, that I've always understood.
Like, I'm kind of learning a lot of it. But you know what's funny is learning why they do certain stuff.
Yeah.
That's what I had to learn, and somebody was teaching me that. And that makes hockey, when you watch it, it's a lot of strategy in hockey.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of strategy.
It is dope.
It looks like at first, when you don't know, you look like this is fucking running around on ice. I don't give a
fuck.
There's
some tough motherfuckers, though. Those fuckers.
Dude, they good, man.
They play with broken jaw, eye popped out of their head. They don't give a fuck.
Yeah, they crazy.
They just come right back, man.
They crazy.
And they make money. It's not like they don't make money.
They make it, but they pay for it. When they retire, they look like shit.
Yeah, you know who makes a lot of money out of those hockey players? The dentist.
They
you know how many dental work?
And that puck start floating around those sticks. They get hit in the face and
Isn't it funny? Like, and there is actually a couple of black dudes that actually play hockey.
There's a lot of you seen black people.
The Capitals, like the dude.
They making a move. Making a move. The Flyers got to come.
I'm just waiting
guys.
For that day because I rarely see a black dude. Not that I follow NHL. I rarely see a black dude in a hockey fight. Because I would like to think if it ever was, he'll take off that fucking ice kit. Yeah, come at me, motherfucker.
Yeah,
just cut your shit up. You know what I'm saying? I'm surprised that don't happen a lot.
Yeah, they did not enforce this, man. They only got a lot of black enforcers. That's which is cool. But I knew a dude, when I was in high school, it was the middle linebacker for my team. Like I said, I'm from inner city black high school. He was he played hockey. He played hockey. And
wow.
He was fucking crazy on the field too. He was the type of dude who just jump in.
He just loves just
around the ball.
Just didn't I'm gonna give fuck you up. Fuck. Yeah.
Yeah. Black guy, but he played hockey. He played hockey.
Wow.
He loved hockey. He loved it.
Were you a tall guy?
He was short. Very short.
Shorter than you or?
Sure. He was like my height. He was my height.
But stocky.
But he was actually he looked like he was probably around in high school. He was probably around like 200. Oh, I was around 215 in high school. He was around 200. He was a little smaller than me, but he was just fast and he was crazy.
Wow!
And he was around that ball. With the dude we had before that, who was a middle linebacker who graduated right before him, his name was Vinny Trauma. That dude's name was Cedric Green. That's the black guy. The white guy's name was Vinny Trauma.
Oh, okay.
He was fucking crazy. Wow. He was Italian. Crazy,
there you go.
Short, dude. Oof. Fucking didn't care. He loves me. He loves me. He even when I came in, because in ninth grade, I went to a different high school. 10th grade, I came. Uh-huh. He literally told his coach, he said, I want Chris starting. I want Chris on the field because I was crazy. When I played, when I was at practice, I would go through the drills. I was cool at practice, more fun at practice. Mm. Game time, he seen me on the field. I didn't care. Like, it was time to play. I would shut down, and it was like, let's play fucking football. And I didn't get scared. I never, like, got scared. Yeah, I never. I told you, same way I am on the field was how I am on stage.
On stage,
like,
yeah.
Once I go out there and the game starts and the first hit happens, it's like now
you're
it's time
zone.
To play
you're
football.
Zone.
Yeah, it's like,
yeah.
What's the play? What are we doing?
Boom, boom, boom,
boom. You know what I mean? But before the game, I'm nervous as fuck.
It's funny. Yeah. I guess because it's anticipation. You
yeah.
just want to get started. And then once you start it, you're cool.
Yeah. I hate when I have to headline shows because when you got a headline, you got to wait to the end. I had to wait for sometimes more comics most of the time hope you only two if it's just a regular headliner show. And I'm sitting there just going crazy. I like, oh, they're like, I like, I'm gonna leave, I come back. Because I get nervous. I get nervous and shit waiting.
Yeah, it's like the you just want
to
get it done.
Yeah, I only need to. I don't need to sit there and watch every comic. Another, I need to go out there for 2 minutes, and I can gauge how the crowd usually is from that. And then I just go up on stage. I go up on stage and smash.
Yeah, so I remember before we leave, I remember one of your Periscope followers brought up about Joe Matarese.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So you want? Matarese. Can you talk about that? Or
I can talk about
Matarese. So what's it? First of all, if you could talk about it. Is everybody cool?
Okay. It's not an ugly situation.
Okay, it's not an ugly situation. Is it about the tolls? Is that mostly what it is? Or?
It's mostly what it is.
Yeah.
It's not about. I mean,
he is coming for West Bubba Fuck. To be honest.
Like I don't.
That's why and he has kids. You know.
That's why I even said to Mary, I said, look, man, you in a different position in your life than I'm in.
Oh hell yeah.
Like I said, I'm 28. Yeah, I don't have no kids.
Yeah, exactly.
I got a wife. She lives in Philadelphia. You know what I mean? Like. I don't mind. Like I'm sleeping on a couch in Brooklyn. You know what I mean?
Friend's house,
yeah, exactly. So I'm in a different position than you. I said. So I mean, he kind of couldn't afford it. You know what I mean? And it's like not like he's like living foot to hand to mouth or nothing. You know what I mean? It's just that it was taking a toll on him financially. So he had to kind of take a step back. You know what I mean? Which is cool. I still love Matarese. I think Matarese is hilarious. I think I got to do a gig with Matarese in July. Oh, yeah? I got to confirm that with him. But we'll be together, I think, in like close to Connecticut or something like that.
Oh, okay.
And him be working together. So that should be fun. So
that's cool.
Well, I'll start announcing that on the podcast when the time comes around.
Yeah, that's cool.
But I think he's headlining, I'm featuring. So, but Matarese, he's a good dude. He's funny. I legitimately... like Matarese. Like, I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
When people shit on Matarese, they used to piss me off.
Yeah, really?
When they did, yeah. I used to get angry. I said, because especially on Twitter, I remember somebody was trying to shit on him on Twitter, and I got involved on Twitter. I was like, fuck you. And I started ripping into him. Because that's not how Joe is. Joe is a really nice dude.
No, he seemed like a nice guy.
And,
yeah.
But he's funny. He's funny. He's cool. And I mean, even though I said it on the Periscope, I love Gino and Sue, but I think it was. The best when it was
the original crew,
because we didn't need any extra people. It could literally be us three, and like the my favorite episode to this day is the day when we just refused to leave and get off the air.
Yeah.
We did a 4-hour long podcast.
Yeah, it was yeah.
And we were all just in one of the shittiest moods ever, and it was about to start raining, and we didn't want to leave, and we were just all in there. It was just kind of just like. It would be like one person would start talking about something, and we would just vent for like 20 minutes to an hour. The next person would just start vent. And next thing you know, we're just sitting there trying to fix it and help each other out. Like, we don't know what we're doing. We're all in such a shitty mood.
Yeah.
But and when we left, it made for good radio.
Yes, absolutely.
It was just fun, and it was good hanging out with him.
Just to go to show you, dude, with you, it doesn't matter when Matarese was there with you, or even Sue Costello, or even Artie, was by himself with... homeboy, I can't
Gino?
Remember. Yeah, not Gino. Homeboy that lives with him.
Oh, Dan.
Yeah, Dan Filato.
Yeah,
Dan Filato. It always works out. It's always dope. I really, really is. Yeah. I mean, I miss Joe Matarese, but I love Sue Costello. I love Gino. Yeah, Gino's. I love Gino.
Yeah, Gino. Yeah, Gino.
He always seems angry. I love it. Yeah.
The funny thing with me when we start, like Monday, the episode was a lot of shit.
I was hearing it. I'm still finishing that one. Dude, on my way here, I was listening to it.
It was a lot of shit on Gino, and I'm sitting there.
I mean, I'm instigating
something.
Yeah, but it was funny when Artie went to you and said, "Okay, if you were his age, would you ever have his career? They put you in a situation like, yeah."
Nah,
thanks a lot, Artie.
But you know what's funny? He don't take. Hopefully, I don't think so. Gino takes most of the. I mean, he says he doesn't. I'm assuming he doesn't. He doesn't seem like he does.
I would
but
think
it's fun, man.
Yeah,
it's
mean, I would think if you were, you know, a comedian, you have to take the good with the bad. You know, you can't take that personally.
Yeah, I mean, I get shit on at times.
Oh, fuck,
I get shit on. I get shit. For some reason, I tend to get out of it faster than Gino does.
Yeah, I know.
Because I'll start attacking back if I need to. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, there was like you and Jay's flipping kind of.
Oh, with me and Jay.
Are you cool?
Yeah, I'm cool with James. Okay. I'm cool. People always assume I don't like James. I don't have a problem with James.
No, I don't think. Yeah, but I don't. Do you think he?
Like, I don't think he's a. I don't think James is racist.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that. Does he like you as a person?
I think James does.
You think?
I think James does.
No, you didn't say no.
I think James does because I just don't know James. Like I don't.
You don't hang out with him off.
Yeah,
field.
It's
not like with Gino or Artie.
Off air, yeah. Me and Gino have done shows together, and we've hung, and I've hung with Sue off air.
Yeah, flipping is just when you're there. The podcast.
Yeah,
that's
it's
the
like,
time
it's
you're
like mostly
see him.
I'd see him. So that's why I say I think instead of I know. But I've spoken to him like phone wise and stuff like that. Like even when everything was going on, we were arguing on. We talked off air a little bit. To make sure everything, because he didn't know how much I was taking personal, how much he was taking personal. I didn't know how much he was. So we had conversations.
Well, that's good.
And James, it's just his views are his views. Now, I don't knock anybody for having
No. Yeah, if it's real.
Yeah, it's like whatever you feel is what you feel. Absolutely. Because even off air, he discussed, he's like, look, dude, I don't think that. He is very pro police and kind of, I mean, he's very right wing, essentially. But at the same token, we've also had a lot of conversations where it's like he doesn't agree with a lot of other things and other ways, and it's just politics. Once you start talking politics, people have their own views. You can't,
yeah, and that's the way it
is. Knock that. And I'm not really, and me and Art aren't really people who kind of pick a side. We kind of go with,
yeah, exactly.
This is right. This is right. This is wrong,
wrong. This is wrong.
This is wrong. And yeah. And the funniest is when me and Artie. Which sometimes we don't even agree on a few things here and there. You know what I mean? Because of how we raised. But we just don't get into much of an argument because he's like, well, it is what it is. I don't agree with that. I don't agree.
We can
agree
move
on.
Agree.
Yeah, we can move on a little easier.
Yep.
Absolutely. Opposed to Jane Flippin, who was like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Who doesn't. Yeah. The best moment for me is when I called him a dumb fuck and I felt really bad about it.
I don't. What was that, like a couple months ago?
Yeah, that was like a few weeks ago.
Oh, that's what we. Oh, I gotta hear that one.
I was like, yeah, I was like, we was discussing some shit. I don't know. The girls at the pool party when they got arrested.
Oh, during the Mayweather fight weekend?
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. I said to myself, and we was talking, and I was like, you dumb fucking. And he was like, and he made this face where it's like, I'm a dumb fucking artist. I was like, come on, Chris, you can't call me dumb. I'm like, okay, you make a good point. I apologize a couple times for that, off air and on. But I felt bad for calling him a dumb fuck. But I told him, I said, it's like, well, the problem is, it feels like I'm arguing with like I got two older brothers, and my middle brother, me and him, fucking argued. We would argue for hours. On
really?
Him. And it felt like I was arguing with him. And it's like, come on, man, like. I hear you're just so busy trying to make a point that you're not even listening to anybody
else's
point.
Right, whatever.
So I had to call him a dumb fuck.
Yeah. just don't step over this line. Huh?
Yeah.
I'm going to warn you. I'm going to punch you.
Stay in your seat, you dumb fuck.
Yeah, dumb fuck, yeah. Just stay right there. You know, it's good for you. Well, that's, this has been awesome, man.
It's fun, man.
It's been fun. It's almost already. We've actually been on. Let me see. Let me look. I'm going to do like they do. It's been on like, you know, yeah, like about, yeah, hour 17 minutes.
Yeah, it's good money, man. Well, so next time I come in, if I.
Oh, you back, oh, yeah. If you,
we gotta, we
you're
gotta
more than welcome whenever, anytime.
We got to do this private part style. We're going to put the newspaper on the joint.
How is that? Some, I like that.
We're
going
to have some motherfucking. Porn stars in here doing goofy shit, stupid porn star tricks. That's what we going to do.
Yeah,
no, we gonna come back, have more people in here, hang out, talk shit,
and
man.
You could bring whoever if you want.
Yeah, I'll try to bring somebody from Center City Comedy. Center City,
yeah,
Comedy.
Hell yeah.
I always try to bring some of them. I try to bring Reg with me. Reg fat ass because he's off for the summer. So
Reg
I try to bring
fat
Reg
fat ass.
Reg or Foley. I try to bring Foley. I like Foley.
Oh, okay, cool.
Or Dave or somebody.
Well, yeah, this has been fun, man. It sucks that. Damn.
We got to go eventually.
I guess we got to go. But you had fun?
I had a lot of fun, man. I'm chilling. I've been talking the whole time, yapping.
Well, actually, you talk more here than you do on Ari's podcast. It's a different. It's different. We have a lot of different people.
I'm going to say, yeah. You have to
pick and choose your spot, you know.
You know what's funny with the podcast? There's some days where I'm super talkative.
Yes, I can tell.
But then there's some days I just don't feel like talking.
And you forget. And sometimes, Cotton's there.
And then eventually I just chime in. It's like, oh, shit, he just went on a string of jokes for 5 minutes. And it's like, I just go quiet again. I don't mind. You know what's funny? I don't mind that, though, because some. I don't feel it. Yes, it's not about feeling it or not feeling. You gotta pick your spots.
Yeah, exactly. I was just saying.
The worst is when you got somebody who's just talking to talk, and I don't mind getting quiet. That's why I think most people don't mind me. Most people like me on it from what I'm seeing. Most people like because it's days when I'm on there and I only maybe talk about 20 minutes worth because I just don't have anything to say.
Yeah,
you know
that.
What I mean?
But
then there's times where I go in there and I'm doing majority of talking. It seems like I'm hosting and Artie is hanging out.
Yeah, I know.
It is what it is.
I guess it depends what grabs you, I guess.
Yeah. The race stuff is always fun, you know.
Yeah, I know.
But
let me ask you real quickly. Since what do you think about that Puff Daddy situation?
You know what's bad? I haven't had a chance to really.
All right, so then
read it. Do you know anything about it?
Well, it's just basically he got arrested Monday.
I know. Yeah, I know.
You know, he has his son. His son plays like cornerback for UCLA. And he got arrested for assault with a deadly weapon following an alleged altercation with Bruins assistant coach Sal Alossi. And what's funny about this coach is that this was the same coach. He was part of the Jets like a few years back. He tripped one of the Dolphins during a kickback.
Oh, remember, that dude. I remember that dude.
That was that guy.
That was the dude, you piece of shit.
Yeah, so until I know more facts, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying Puff was wrong. I'm not saying.
Did he still, he's still in jail?
Or no, he got out on like a $50,000 bond or some shit. Yeah. All
right.
Yeah, but I know something happened. I don't know what the fuck. See, with that shit. Oh, yeah, how about this other fucked up shit? Like the former baseball player, Daryl Hamilton, murder-suicide.
Oh, that just happened today?
A couple of days. Actually, you know when it happened? It happened Saturday afternoon.
Saturday.
But it wasn't leaked out to Monday. I think the reason they did that was because Father's Day weekend.
Yeah, that's mean, man.
Because he had kids.
Why do you fucking?
No, this is what. What happened? Well, this is what we were at. Supposedly, as far as I know, he was shot and killed. The murder suicide. The girl killed his ass, and she killed herself. And the 15-month-old son was in the house. This was in Houston. He was only 15.
So 15 months?
15-month-old child was in the house when this
Who's
happened.
Taking care of the baby now?
Child services took the kid.
Damn, that's fuck. And that's you crazy bitch. Like,
So I think, I don't know, but I'm thinking something happened where maybe homeboy was like, that's it, yo, you crazy or something. He was trying to get out of the situation and the chick just flipped. It was like, that's like, what's his name? Like Phil, it sounded like Phil Hartman. Yeah. Like back in the day, the 90s, that yeah, shit. That crazy Hartman. Shit. That's some crazy shit, man.
Sad. That made me sad. I was a huge Phil Hartman fan.
Yeah, that shit was fucked
huge.
Up, man.
I really like Phil Hartman.
That chick was...
She ruined news radio.
Yeah, that was
she
actually...
She really did. That was a fucking
That was actually wasn't a bad show, man.
It was a good show.
Underrated show.
It was a very underrated show. I didn't know that, man.
Yeah, if you look
now
that
I'm
up...
pissed off because I didn't know.
Bring that up in the podcast.
Yeah, I would. We'll probably end up talking
I don't know if you talked about it yet this week, but it happened...
No, yeah, for the rest of the week, like I said, since Artie's mom is getting surgery.
Yeah,
stuff,
I
we're
going
to be off of Wednesday, today and tomorrow.
Oh, okay, cool, so, cool. Understandable, man.
So until next week. Back, yeah, we'll be back. I think they're going to... They still chopped up the show from... I think they're going to chop the show up that they just put out, I think, Tuesday. The one they did Tuesday, I think they're going to chop that in half.
Oh, okay.
So y'all only be short one episode, but...
Oh, okay.
We'll work that's out. We'll be back fresh on Monday.
Oh, cool. But, you know, prayers to the Artie's moms. I definitely, you know, a homeboy go through a lot.
Man. Some self-induced, some external. It happens, man.
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of... But yeah, I'm sorry I didn't know about it. I really, because usually I'm up on everything. I've been
yeah,
moving
check it
a
out
lot the last few days. I haven't had time
understand,
to read.
But check it out.
I'm looking for the Diddy stuff. I've been seeing about the Diddy stuff a little bit on Twitter and everything, but I never really had a chance to read the stories yet, so I don't have enough information.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't want to pass
it. Oh, yeah. This is what Puffy did. So I guess it was something where he didn't like how he treated his kid or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
So he went over there. So he probably flew there, whatever the fuck. Sure. He took a cowbell and wanted to hit the motherfucker.
Ding dong that motherfucker.
He's turning into Suge Knight. Like, what the fuck is going on with him? Just like this shit, what was it, a couple months ago in the club with, what was it, Drake or some shit?
He was fighting Drake and shit. Oh, well, come on, man.
Like, they gotta
calm down there. Show that, showing your attitude. But he's also trying to get back in the media. Like Diddy ain't really been hot. Like you don't really give a fuck about Diddy right now. So he just trying to, I mean, that mixed with him. He got a little attitude, but he figured if I do something, I'm going to get in the media a little bit, get my name back out there.
Oh, I hate to think he did that for that.
Yeah, he probably is, man.
You think a motive?
He's an attention whore. He's always been an attention whore. I mean, you got to think.
I would be chilling counting money.
He's never
I wouldn't give a shit.
He's never really had any true talent.
Well, let's be honest.
So
let's keep it real. When Biggie died.
Yeah,
who really cares? I'm not saying he made those albums, but a lot of people helped him write that shit. Let's keep it real.
Dude, I always had a theory, man. I'm not going to say no names in this, but
yeah,
I always said who benefited the most from Biggie's death, man. That's what I said.
Starts with a P.
Yeah, it is what it is. So yeah. I never said who did what, but I feel like he had the most benefits out of it. Suge is losing. Suge didn't plan it, and Suge's an idiot. Suge didn't plan anything.
I'm going to get real. I think Suge did both.
I think he
killed Pac, and I think he killed Big.
I don't think he planned either. I think
you Diddy, don't think so.
I think Diddy planned them both.
You think he
because he had the most to gain. He's gained the
so,
most.
So you think he had to do with Pac?
I think he had a lot really? To do with both of them, man.
So we think I've differently on that. That kind of, I yeah, always that thought, what it is. Even back in the day when that happened, because I was only 23, 24. And the first thing I thought of was he did it. Even then.
Suge did it?
Yeah, to a point where when Machiavelli came out.
That Suge shot me?
Yeah. I didn't want to buy the shit because I knew it was going straight to him. But I said, you know what? I love Pac. I always loved Tupac. Mm-hmm. Even when before he was with Digital Underground and shit. I said, I got to buy that shit.
Man. Yeah, I grew up Biggie fan. And
I love Big too.
When I got older, I still love them both, you know. But when I got older, I switched over to more of a Pac fan because his content is different and deeper. You know what I mean? Yeah,
that's what I'm talking older, about.
Yeah.
I see you more as like a Pac dude.
Yeah, when I got older, I became, and then now that I'm getting older even more, like I started liking Nas. Like I didn't like Nas.
Always
when I
was growing up. Oh, really?
You didn't like Nas? I just didn't. I couldn't understand the content. It was too.
Oh, okay.
It was just too much. Like
it's one of those things you have to get older.
I was like 7 or 8 listening to all this shit.
Oh, that's
you know what I mean? Okay. Hanging out with my cousins and my brothers and neighbors.
Like, what the fuck is this shit?
Like I said, which y'all know, I'm a huge DMX fan.
I got
when
you.
DMX came out, it was on for me though. But.
Okay, well we have to wrap this up.
All right, cool.
Somebody needs a studio, so I apologize.
It's time to do this.
So real, any plugs real quick?
Always plugs, you know.
Kind
215.
I was getting nervous at this point.
Ekon 215, Center City Comedy Podcast,
CenterCityComedy.com.
Go on there, support. Great podcast. Also, I'll be with Zach Hudak, big fan of the show. Zach Hudak.
Cool.
He's comic. I'll be with him in Altoona, Pennsylvania this Saturday. Me and Reggie Conquest and Kevin Ryan from Center City Comedy.
Nice.
With guests. Comic Zach Hudak, and I forgot who the host is, but it's going to be a great time, man. We're going to be over there hanging out, man. But
all right.
I think that's it.
That's it, man. Thank you, Chris, for coming in.
Thanks for having me, man. It was a good time.
And you're more than welcome anytime. Just let me know.
Yeah, I'll let you know, man. We come in one of these days. We're going to have some porn stars.
Hell yeah. And thank you all for listening. You're going to check this out later on when I upload it, thebenchwarmers.podmag.com. Peace, and as always, as I say, ladies and tomatoes, peace.
Personality. I am not what your country can do for you.